Shabbos Daf Samach Tes. So according to Munbaz, that you bring a Karban Chatas, even if you knew what you were doing at the time of the action was Usser. Now what's the accident? What's the inadvertence here? Because we know that you only bring a Karban Chatas if you did something by accident, if you didn't know something, you didn't have perfect knowledge, right? And that's considered inadvertence. So if Munbaz is saying that even when you were doing the action and you knew it was Usser, what's the inadvertence here? What didn't you know that saying that you didn't do it totally on purpose? It's going to say that the Gemara is going to answer that you didn't know that you have to bring a Karban Chatas if you violated it by accident. And according to Munbaz, not having that knowledge would consider this an accident that you would bring a Karban Chatas. However, the Chacham, the other opinions say that's not going to be enough to be considered an accident. Not knowing that you bring a Karban Chatas if you violate this by accident is not enough to consider this inadvertent, and you would still be liable if you knew what you were doing was Usser at the time of doing it. That's considered doing it on purpose. Now, according to the Chacham then, what's the accident? What didn't you know? Rabbi Yochanan says, it's that you knew what you were doing was usher, but you didn't know that what you were doing would get you kares for doing it. Rish Lakish says, no, it's what you didn't know either. You didn't know what you were doing was usher, and you didn't know that you would get kares for doing it. Rava brings in the reason for Rish Lakish, that there's a pasuk that says you bring a karban chatas for doing acts that are not to be done inadvertently, and he becomes guilty. So that's the pasuk, and we learn from this, Rish Lakish is learning from this, that you only bring a karban chatas if you didn't know that what you were doing was usher, and you also didn't know that you would get kares. What does Rabbi Yochanan do with that pasuk that Rish Lakish brings in? There's a braisa that says if a person sins accidentally from among the people, this pasuk is excluding one who routinely disregards the Torah. They cannot bring a Karban Chatas because it says you only bring a Karban Chatas if you're among the people. Someone who's always disregarding the Torah is not considered among the people. And the pasuk that Rish Lakish had brought in, that a person who performs the acts that are not to be done inadvertently and becomes guilty, Reb Shimon teaches that pasuk is teaching that you only bring a Karban Chatas if, had you known the thing was usher, you wouldn't have done it, then you're allowed to bring a Karban Chatas. However, if you knew the action that you're about to do was usher and you still would have done it, then you could not bring a Karban Chatas. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan does with that pasuk. It's teaching that you needed to, if you knew it was usher, you wouldn't have done it. That's the only time that you bring a Karban Chatas. We have a Mishnah that says the Malachos, there are 39 Malachos. So why does it need to say the exact number? We could have just counted them all up and figured out that there are 39 of them. Rabbi Yochanan says it's to teach that if you accidentally violated every single Av Malacha, every single category of the 39 Malachos on one Shabbos, then you would only bring one Karban Chatas for every single Av Malacha that you violated. So this, based on our Mishnah's criteria of when you have to bring a Karban Chatas for every single Av Malacha, this must have been a case where you knew it was Shabbos, but you didn't realize what you were doing was Usser. So this is good for Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan says that if you knew something was Usser, but you didn't realize that there was Kares involved, then that's a case where you bring a Karban Chatas. Because here, what's the case? It's where you know about the Isser of Shabbos, you know there's such a thing as Shabbos, but you didn't realize what you were doing would get you Kares. And that's how, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you can have this case where the person has to bring a Karban Chatas for every single Av Malacha. But according to Rish Lakish, who says that you're only bringing a Karban Chatas if you didn't know it was usher and you didn't know there's Karban, that you would get Kares, then if that's true that you can't know it's usher, then how can we say here that the person knew about Shabbos? He couldn't have known about the Isser according to Rish Lakish. So how does he know here about Shabbos? So the Gemara is going to answer for Rish Lakish that he knew about the laws of the Tchum, that if there's a boundary that you can only travel 2,000 amos away from your dwelling on Shabbos. And according to Rabbi Akiva, this is a Deoraisa Halacha. So the person knows about this Deoraisa Halacha, but he doesn't know anything about the 39 Malachos, so he has no knowledge of the Isser, but he does know about Shabbos in general. Now, there's a braisa that says that if you didn't know that it was Shabbos and you didn't know what you were doing was Usser, that's considered Shogi. That's an accident. If you knew both that it's Shabbos and that what you're doing was Usser, that's considered Mazid, intentional. However, if you only knew that it was Shabbos, or you only knew that what you're doing was Usser, or you didn't know if you need to bring a Karban Chatas if you violate this or not, those are cases when you would bring a Karban Chatas. So who's this braisa going like? It seems like it's going like Munbaz, who says that by not knowing if you bring a Karban Chatas or not, that's the case where you bring a Karban Chatas. So Abaye says that everyone agrees by an oath that you only bring a Karban Chatas if you didn't know that it was usher. If you didn't know you were violating your oath, that's the only time you bring a Karban Chatas, if it was an accident to that degree. So when Abaye says everyone agrees, who's that coming to include? What's Abaye teaching us? He's coming to include Rabbi Yochanan, because earlier Rabbi Yochanan said that you can even bring a Karban Chatas if you knew that something was usher. And if you didn't know that there was Kares, but you knew that it was usher, you would still bring a Karban Chatas. So Abaye is teaching us Rabbi Yochanan would say by an oath that you, the only time it's considered an accident is if you didn't know about the Isser at all. But this is obvious. Rabbi Yochanan only said that you can know about the Isser when there's Kares involved. But here there's no Kares, so that obviously wouldn't apply because there's no other knowledge that you didn't know. All you need to know is that this is Usser or not. There's no Kares knowledge. So you might have thought that here it's going to be different because the Chatas that you bring for an oath is a novelty because there's no Kares. And in the rest of the Torah, you only bring a Karban Chatas when there is an Isser Kares. So therefore, you might have thought that even here, Rabbi Yochanan would apply his ruling and say that if you, even if you knew about the Isser, it's possible that you bring a Karban Chatas. Rabbi is going to teach you that you don't do that. That's not true. We have a Breisla, though, that says, what is an accidental violation of an oath that you would bring a Karban Chatas for? It's where you say, I know this is Usser, but I'm not sure if I bring a Karban Chatas or not. So this is a disproof to Abai, because Abai says you only bring a Karban Chatas if you didn't know that the thing was Usser. But this Breisla says you know that it's Usser, and you still bring a Karban Chatas. So we're gonna, the Gemara is going to answer, no, that Breisla is Munbaz's opinion, and Abai is just talking about Rabbi Yochanan. And so Munbaz's opinion has no bearing on Abai. Abaye's explanation of Rabbi Yochanan. Abaye says that everyone agrees, if a non-Kohen accidentally eats truma, right, the Kohen, the priestly tithe, then he has to pay back the Kohen the truma plus an extra fifth. This is only if this is on purpose. However, if a non-Kohen purposely eats truma, then he gets death by the hands of heaven, misa bidei shamayim. So Abaye says everyone agrees that if a non-Kohen eats the truma, the only time that you're going to pay a fifth is if you didn't know it was usher. That's the only time it's going to be an accident. You didn't know what you were eating was truma. You didn't know that there was an isser. That's considered an accident that you'd pay the fifth. Otherwise, it's on purpose. So who's Abaye including when he says everyone agrees? He's including Rabbi Yochanan because Rabbi Yochanan says it can be considered an accident even if you knew that the thing was usher. However, this is obvious. Rabbi Yochanan only says that when he's taught when there's a karis involved. Here, there's no karis involved. So this is similar, exactly like we had before. All you need, according to Rabbi Yochanan, would be to know that this is usser or not because there's no other kares. However, the reason that Abaye teaches is because you might have thought that getting death from heaven, if a non-Kohen eats the truma, that's going to be the same as kares. And kares, so misa bidei shamayim takes the place of kares. So therefore, if you knew that the thing was usser, but you didn't realize it was misa bidei shamayim, maybe Rabbi Yochanan would say that's enough that you would have to bring a karban chatas. So Abaye is teaching, no, the only criteria here is if you know it's usser or not. It doesn't matter if you knew about the misa bidei shamayim, even according to Rabbi Yochanan. However, Rava disagrees and says that misa bidei shamayim is the same as kares in this case, and the chatas is the same as the fifth that you'd have to pay back, meaning if you accidentally ate the truma and you didn't know that you get misa bidei shamayim, but you did know it was usser, according to Rava, Rabbi Yochanan would say you still pay the fifth. It's still considered an accident. Rav Huna says if you're in a desert and you are traveling, if you're in a desert or you're traveling and you didn't know what, and you don't know what day it is, then what you should do is count 6 days and the seventh day will be Shabbos for you. Chia Bar Rav says no, you for the first day that you're going to observe as your Shabbos, and then you should count 6 days after that, and then again, the next day is going to be Shabbos. So why are they arguing? What's the disagreement? Rav Huna says you go like the creation of the world. That first there were 6 days, and then the seventh day was Shabbos. Chir Bar Rav says, no, you go like Adam HaRishon, the first man, that the first day was on this world was Shabbos, and then he counted 6 days afterwards. However, we have a brace that says you should observe one day, in this case, right, where you don't know what day it is, you should observe one day as Shabbos for every 6 days. So isn't this saying you count 6 days and then the seventh is going to be Shabbos? The Gemara is going to say, no, you could even say, based on this brace, that the first day is going to be Shabbos, and then you count 6 days. However, if that's true, it should have said in the brace that you observe one day and then count six. It should have, but instead, it says you observe one day for every 6 days. So that makes it seem like you count 6 days and then observe the seventh as Shabbos. And also we have a brisa which explicitly says that you count 6 days and observe the seventh as Shabbos. So this is a disproof to Chia Bar Rav that the correct way to do it is to count 6 days and then observe the seventh day as Shabbos. Rava says, in this case, every day of those 6 days, you should do the bare minimum malacha just to stay alive because you're not sure this day could be Shabbos or not. So you want to do just enough to stay alive except for Shabbos. Then you're not allowed to do anything. Now, the Gemara asks, but on the Shabbos, this guy Shabbos, what, he's just going to die, he's not going to do anything? So Rava says, no, you prepare double the amount, you prepare double the day before so that you'll be covered for Shabbos. However, maybe that day that you're preparing double for is really Shabbos. How can you prepare double on that day? Therefore, Rava says, every day you should work the bare minimum you need to stay alive, even on the day that you're keeping a Shabbos. But then if that's true, how are you going to distinguish your day of Shabbos from all the other days if you're just working the same as every day? So what do? You make Kiddush and Avdallah to show that that day is Shabbos. Rava says, if you remember how many days ago you left, but you don't remember what day that was, then every week on that day that you remember that you left, you're allowed to do Malacha because certainly you didn't leave on Shabbos. So you know that that day is not going to be Shabbos. So every week on that day that you left, you can do Malacha because that day is not Shabbos. But that's obvious. We know you didn't leave on Shabbos. Was it coming to teach? So you might have thought that the person also wouldn't leave on Friday. So every week on the day that he left and another day because that the day before, then you could do Malacha because those 2 days you certainly would not have left on. But Rava's coming to teach you, no, sometimes a person does leave on Friday. So even though you know that this day wasn't Shabbos and the day before was, you might have left on that day because that day might have been Shabbos, so you can't say that. Now, the Mishnah listed a whole bunch of different cases where you'd bring a Karban Chatas for different cases in different ways. So the Gemara just asks in general, how do we learn that sometimes you only bring one Karban Chatas for violating many Shabbosim, and other times you bring a Karban Chatas for every single Shabbos, right? Where do we see the difference? Rava Bar Avua says, there are two psukim. V'shamu b'nei Yisrael at a Shabbos teaches that you bring a Karban Chatas for only one Shabbos, meaning you bring one Karban Chatas for all the Shabbosim that you broke, because it says Shabbos in the singular, and at Veshav Totai Tish Moru teaches that you bring a Karban Chatas for every single Shabbos that you broke because Shabtosai is in plural. However, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says it makes more sense to say the other way around. That Veshamu B'nei Yisrael as a Shabbos teaches that you bring a Chatas for every single Shabbos because it's looking at every single Shabbos as an individual, as one unit in the singular. So you're going to bring a Karban Chatas for every single Shabbos. And Veshavatotai Tishmoru teaches that you bring one Karban Chatas for all the Shabbos in general that you violated because it's showing that you just, the plural Shabbos is showing that you have to observe all the Shabbos in general. Shkayach.